verse 8, let us begin reading. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command Aaron and his son, saying, This is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire has consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. And he shall put off his garments, and put on other garments, and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offering. The fire shall never be burning upon the altar. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. The last verse is where I want to center my message today. Verse number 13. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Now, to catch the picture that is being given to us here, we find the priest assigned with a responsibility of offering certain offerings. And there was a prescribed way in which these offerings were to be presented. And once the offering was ready to be offered, there could never be natural fire put to the offering. Once the offering was ready to be offered, the fire had to come down supernaturally and consume the sacrifice. You remember whenever Elijah offered up the offering and he prayed and said, whichever God answers by fire, this is the God we will serve. And how they prepared the sacrifice, they fixed the altar, they fixed the wood, they lay the sacrifice there, they poured the water on it, the whole bit. Then he stood back and he prayed, and fire came down and consumed that sacrifice. As that sacrifice was consumed by the fire, this was God answering by fire. You remember two boys that were sons of the priest, and they were suddenly smitten down because they offered strange fire. You know what the strange fire was? It was they took and caused the fire to start. It was not fire that came down. And no man could start the fire by himself. It had to be God coming down and touching it. And may I say to you, and I'll go more with this a little later, the only way that a man's life can be changed, and the only way that a woman's life can be changed, is for the fire of God to touch your heart. There is no natural thing that you can do. There is no human thing you can do that can start the fire of God inside your heart. Your heart can only have that fire burning there once it has been touched by the Spirit of the living God. It must come down from God above. Many men have tried to be religious, and so they have done. Many men have tried to be Christians through their own efforts, but they could never do so because through their own efforts, it was the strange fire. It was the work of human hand. It was the instrument of human hand. But once God touches a man's heart, there is a fire that starts within his heart and life that burns upon the altar of his heart that keeps him aglow for God. Then secondly, there's something about this fire, and that is, it couldn't be just anywhere. It had to be on the altar. If it were not on the altar, it was of no value. It had to be placed on the altar. And once everything was in order, and everything had been done, The priest stood back, and God lit the fire. Hallelujah. You know what? I'd like to have seen one of those. I wouldn't want to live back there. Can you imagine coming in with all that blood and everything else that you'd have to offer up a sacrifice every time you came to God? You know? But I'd like to have stood back and just watched him light that thing up one time. Amen? Just see it really catch fire. Wouldn't you? I have to admit that I would. Amen. But the three offerings I want to talk to you about today, the three sacrifices, are these: the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the praise offering. And mothers, I want to address this to you, because more men are saved because of a dedicated mother than there are because of a dedicated father. More lives are changed because of the life of a mother than because of the life of a dad. And dads, that's an indictment against us, but history tells the story. And a sin offering that was offered. This was an offering that was offered up. It was burned, and this burning of this offering had to be placed there, and the fire had to continually burn until it was consumed, completely consumed. You know what? That speaks to us of the sin and self. And oh, that God would give us a band of women whose lives had been offered unto God, that selfishness would melt away, and God's divine presence would begin to rule and dominate. If there's anything that I see today that is troubling my spirit concerning the female race, it is this: that selfishness and self-centeredness and looking out for self is dominating the lives of individuals, even to the price of their own children, even to the price of their own home and their own family. The women's lib is playing us a lot of heartache because it's casting a spirit around the world that is causing an independence and a rebellion against that which God has ordained. I believe that women should have rights. I believe that women should not be used as slaves. I believe that they are given unto men as a helpmate and should stand beside man to encourage him and to strengthen him. But oh, that God would give unto us an army of women who have sold out to God, whose hearts have been purged from sin, and who have so fell in love with Jesus Christ that self has melted away and she lives for one purpose, and that is to produce a family that can go forth and tell the story of Jesus and lift high the blood stained banner of Almighty God. We need that. We need that desperately. We're suffering because selfishness has crept in and troubled too many and robbed families. I won't do this. I'm not expected to do this. Children today, many of them, not all of them, but many of them, they don't know the love that I received as a child. Amen. They don't know the care that many of you received as a child. The training, the teaching, the love, the tenderness, the firmness, the discipline. Amen. They don't know that. And they're being robbed. They're being mistreated. Why aren't they knowing it? Most of the time is because of selfishness. Selfishness on the part of a mother that has not really let their life be offered up to Jesus Christ. And I don't want to spend too much time on that point, because I want to move to the burnt offering. And the burnt offering was called a burnt offering because it was totally consumed by the fire. Totally consumed by the fire. Mother, when your life is totally consumed by the fire of the Holy Spirit, you'll do more to shape the lives of your children than the devil can ever tear down. When a mother's life is sold out to God, when her life is centered in Christ, you don't have to go around preaching to your children all the time. You don't have to go around continuously threatening them with this and with that. When your life is totally sold out to Almighty God, when it's consumed by the fire of Almighty God, there will be an understanding. There will be a care. There will be a love there. There will be that time of overlooking of their faults and seeing why they're frustrated, understanding why they're frustrated, and dealing with the real issue of the problem. Did you know that the number one sickness or disease or plague to the children today is brutality by parents? Did you know that I believe it's one out of every five children that's admitted to the hospitals today, they're admitted because a parent has brutally beat that child? It's sad. It's sickening. It crushes my heart as I read concerning some of these things. I have caught myself becoming so angry that I would literally be trembling like this as I have heard reports or either read in the newspaper concerning child brutality and the way that some parents mistreat their children. It's all because they're not consumed by the fire of God's divine Holy Spirit. When a mother's life is literally consumed by the Spirit of the living God, her life will speak to her children. Her love will undergird them. Her discipline will be with love and with tenderness. And at the same time, she'll never rob them of the rod. She'll never spare the rod, but she'll apply it in love and affection and understanding. Amen. Oh, for mothers. And this typifies. See, all the old offerings in the Old Testament, they were only a type of what one day we would experience literally. And when that offering was consumed by the fire, it spoke of a life that was consumed by the fire of God. There is a song that the trio sings sometime, "Consume Me, O God, Consume Me." And that's what it means. Let from the tips of my toes to the very hair of my head be literally consumed by the fire of Almighty God. Let me become a burning torch for Almighty God. Let my life speak of a life sacrificed unto the Lord. But you see, you cannot have the burnt offering until first you have offered the sin offering. For until the sin and the selfishness is gone, until that is pushed aside, until that is removed, there can never be the burnt offering. Amen? And moms, let me just share some things with you at this point. You're going to have to pray harder than some of the moms who even went before you, because you're facing a different world. And there are things that are expected of you that were not expected of your mothers. Oh, it's true. You have washing machines and you have dryers and you may have lovely homes and you may have automatic this and automatic that and automatic something else. But the pressures that were brought to bear upon your mom over the rub board and over the old ironing board was not nearly as severe as the pressures that's brought up on the modern day mother today to cope with the pressures of life that they're coping with. This is the most subtle day that the world has ever known. No mother has ever faced a day exactly like this day here. A day when demands are put upon you, things are expected of you, the whole society is so geared that the most of you are expected to work and work a 40-hour week and then continue to be a mother and continue to be a wife and continue to take care of your home. The pressures of that is insurmountable. The pressures of that, it brings down heavy, heavy burdens upon a mother to go out and to cope with the world all day where there's cursing, where there's vulgarity, where that there's all kinds of sin and temptation and trials, and then come home to children that are frustrated because their mother wasn't there when they came in from work, and a house that is dirty and a home that needs to be cared for, and the pressures of all of this weighing out upon you, it brings you into a lackadaisical state of mind and spirit. And if you're not careful, you'll begin to slough things off and say, I can't cope with with it. I can't cope with it. You'll find yourself driving your children from where you are back into a den somewhere to play with toys or to watch that idiot box one, and that becomes the trainer of your child. Oh, mother, hear me as I say to you, it is important that that child have the opportunity to sit at your feet, to hang onto your coattail, to walk around where you are, to be in your presence, because there's no person on the face of this earth that means more to them than a mother. Amen. And mom, when you're consumed by the fire from off the altar, and when that fire is burning and blazing forth, that fire will keep you tender and keep your perspectives right and keep your whole outlook on life what it ought to be, and help you also to see your children in the light that God expects you to see them in. Amen. Hallelujah. I can understand why so many parents, they either don't correct their children at all, or either they correct them and they're brutal. You see, Wally, a mother comes in frustrated and torn and what have you. She's nervous already. She knows she's got so much to do. She doesn't have time for the children. So then she feels guilty. She said, I can't whip them every time I come home. If I paddle them, they'll soon think all I come home for is to paddle them. So then they try to push them off and give them this and buy them that and give them a toy and give them something else and promise them this and promise them that, because they don't want to paddle them. They want to negotiate with them. And negotiation is not what a child needs. A child needs to be disciplined and loved. Disciplined and loved. But no parent can really discipline a child unless they have time afterwards to love the child. Every child after discipline needs to be loved. Every child after being paddled, there needs to be a time given when you go back to that child and love the child and explain to them again why the punishment was administered. That needs to be. But I can understand that a mother doesn't want to do that, and then she comes to that state where she says, but I can't cope with it anymore. Then she becomes brutal. She slops and knocks, and they become like little varmints. They're like little dogs, little animals. They know whenever she walks in the house, flee to the corners, flee to the other room. Get out of the way, or she'll slap you over. The frustration is too much. So we're producing a generation of children that are nervous wrecks. Amen? I don't see our principal here right now, but he was in the earlier service and prayed with us at the altar. There are some of you school teachers that are here today. We have taken some of those children like that into our school, because we believed that all they needed was love and care. And we've seen them turn around from a child that was failing to become a child that was a B and an A student, simply because it was in an atmosphere of love and understanding and with firm discipline. Amen? But you see, there's got to be a fire upon the altar. There's got to be a fire upon the altar. That fire has got to burn there. You've got to become a burning sacrifice. And that word sacrifice is where it's all at. See, something's got to mean more to you than your children if you neglect them. And I just want you to pull out your book and run down all the things that you have. And check it out. And see what you possess that means more to you than your child. I know that's a low blow, but you got to somehow get your priorities straight. Hallelujah. There's some things that's more important than trying to stay up with the Joneses. Amen. There's some things that's more important than being free. If that's what you wanted, you should have thought about that three kids ago. Now then, let the fire of God consume you and make whatever sacrifice needs to be made. Amen. Whatever sacrifice needs to be made, make that sacrifice and say, Master, consume me. For if I can train these that have been lent to me, if I can train them and give them back to you as servants, my reward and pay will be abundant. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to make a statement to you, and I've said this before, and I've said this to people who teach in the school. I've said this to people who work as secretaries in our office, and I say it again. You're a mother before you're anything else. Point number three, the peace offering. Hallelujah. When you are properly cared for the sin offering, when you are properly cared for the burnt offering, then comes the peace offering. The peace offering is that offering of fellowship, of communion with Almighty God. It's the beauty of that fellowship. It's the beauty of knowing. Mother, the greatest peace that a mother can know is knowing that all is well with her own. Amen. Hallelujah. Knowing that all is well with her own. I remember back in Arkansas when my mother used to, if it started coming up a bad cloud, she brought us all into one room. And I said, well, Mother, why you want me in here? I mean, man, I was playing in there. I was doing this. She said, I feel better when I got all of my little chickens together. There's nothing that gives greater source of joy and contentment and peace than for a mother to know that all is well. Amen. I called my mother this morning quite early because I knew she'd be up. And I started talking to her, and I could tell as I talked to her, things weren't well. And I said, Mother, have the other kids called you? Yes, I've received gifts from all of them. But son, Terry filed for a divorce last week. Won't be no Mother's Day for her today. I could talk to her all I wanted to. Joe can call. We can send her the nicest gifts. She received red roses from the kids. Others, pot plants, flowers, dresses, what have you. All of that's nothing. Because Terry filed for divorce. She said, son, when I look at those two little old boys, said it tears my heart out. This will be the hardest Mother's Day she's ever spent. Because all is not well. Amen. All is not well. And you know the sad part about a lot of that is, I can say all I want to Mother, all I want to, but in her mind she knows that there was a time in her life when she didn't serve God faithfully. And Terry was born in that time, and she knows that. And all the sacrifices she can do now, I have a difficult time keeping her from beating herself over the head because of yesterday's failures. You see, Mother, you can have the sin offering, and you can have the burnt offering, and you can have the peace offering. And God sets the fire. He lights the fire. He literally reaches down from heaven and the fire is consuming the sacrifice. But once the sacrifice is offered, once the fire is lit, then it's your business. Hear what I'm saying. It's your business to keep the fire burning. Amen. God likes it, but you keep it burning. Every morning the old priest had to get up. When he had on his linen clothes, he would go in and he would take out all the ashes. It must have had some kind of a grate that the meat would lay on, and it would burn, and as it would filter down underneath there, he would begin to scrape out all of these ashes. Once he got them all scraped out, he went then and changed clothes, and he took these ashes to the outside of the camp. And there he dumped them in a place out there. He never went out with the linen clothes upon. Every day he had to put wood on the fire. Every day he had to see. During the 9 hours, it was his business to see that that fire never went out. God would light it, but it was his business to keep it burning. And God has lit the torch in many of your mother's lives. And in the last several months, I have seen that fire begin to dwindle in some of your lives. And it troubles me as the pastor. It troubles me as a spiritual overseer of this flock. One of the things that I hate about the multiple services is, and because some of you, you'll say, well, I'll go to the 8 o'clock service this week. Next week, I'll go to the 11 o'clock. Next week, I'll go to the 4 o'clock. Next week, I'll go to the 6 o'clock. And if something comes along, you may miss all of the services. You know what you're doing? You may be able to survive on that, but you're taking your children, and every week they're meeting a new congregation of people, and that's not right. They need to be able to identify with people. They need to have a teacher they can identify with. They need to have a children's church worker that's over them week after week. They need to be surrounded with the same people week after week so they can become a part and know they are. Amen. Amen. The multiple services drives me up the wall. You never heard me say anything about them before, because I know there's nothing I can do about it right now. But you can. Amen. If it's going to be 8 o'clock, be 8 o'clock. If it's going to be 11 o'clock, be 11 o'clock. If it's going to be 4 o'clock, be 4 o'clock. But you get those children in the house of God. And let them have the same children's church workers. Be involved with the same group of people week after week after week so they'll know they're a part. Every children's church is not promoting the same little program or doing the same little thing. So this week, they come along, they get all excited about being a part of this. And then the next week, they get all excited about being something else. The first thing you know, they can't be a part of anything because you won't pay the price to get them there regular. Amen. And everybody agrees with that, say amen. Hallelujah. You can't mucky around with your children. They're too smart. The average child today, before he ever puts a foot inside of the first grade, he's smarter than the average second and third grader was 15 years ago. They got a vocabulary that'll stand you back on your heels. They know. They know. You're not dealing with a bunch of little idiots. You're dealing with the smartest group of kids that's ever walked across the face of this earth. And the beautiful thing about it is, if you'll get them to God and let their lives be challenged for God until they be consumed with that same fire, they'll shake this world to the very core for Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Stability, stability, stability is something a child's looking for. Did you hear me? Amen. I don't say too much. I'll let them run the school until there's a problem. But every time I hear that a teacher's sick, I say, who's sick? What grade does she teach? It upsets me when the kindergarten, the pre-K, the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth, anytime they have to change a teacher, that upsets me. Amen? Because every little boy falls in love with his teacher. She may be as ugly as homemade sin, but to him, she's beautiful. And every little girl wants to be like their teacher. Amen? And I just don't like to see any changes there. The same thing is true in your total life. One of the biggest sacrifices, I guess, that Sister Gorman and I made whenever that I was in district work was the fact that I was on the road most of the time and she was home. Many people would say to me, why doesn't she come with you? The kids are not in school. When we moved to Alexandria, they weren't in school. Mark was 3 months old. Randy wasn't in school. Why don't they come with you? There's nothing to keep them from it, except one thing. They need the security of knowing that they belong. Amen. They need that security. They need it. They need to know who their Sunday school teacher is. They need to know who the missionette leader is. They need to be a part of the little choirs and the little programs that are promoted. They need that. And moms, before I get off of this, you can put priorities on anything you want to, but when you get them all put on there, if it does not let your child become an active part of the total children's church program, you are wrong. And when you get home, look yourself in the mirror and say, I've been a fool. Amen. I'm not trying to be cute. I'm just being factual with you. Hallelujah. You know what you're saying to that child? Everything else is important. But what the church is doing is not important. And I think it's pretty important when those kids put on a program. And I think it's pretty important when those little kids sing. That's the reason I make them scoot over down there and I sit right in front of them. I want them to know that Brother Gorman's proud of every one of them. Amen? I want them to know that I think they're doing the most important thing that's taking place in that particular service. Amen? I don't get down here when the adult choir sings. Amen? They're old enough to know. Isn't that right, Ralph? They're old enough to know. But when those little fellas start singing, they feel awkward, they're a little afraid, do they get accustomed to it? They need to know pastor's pulling for them. And that as far as what's happening in that church, that service, they're doing the number one thing. Amen. Let them know church stands head and shoulders above and everything else. Amen. And I don't, but I just want a statement, blessing. If you want to see how it pays off, and I've fought on many a battle, and I've had some of you so mad at me, you could have twisted my head off and threw it at me. But you got over it, and I still got my head. But one of the greatest things that ever happened, and the reason I stood by her during the time of the whole thing, was when Lynette was pushing that Bible quiz program, we put that priority over everything else. Dr. Dunn got so mad at me, he could have hung me up by the toes. I didn't understand it, and Mr. Williams even passed me in the hall sulking because I let the kids stay home. And I told them this. I mean, I'm not talking out of school. Because I let them stay home and study Bible quiz. But I got news for you, friend. I got news for you. I believe if you put God first, everything else will fall in line. I believe that. Now, I don't think that you can just be a religious kook See, and try to cop out. A lot of people try to do that. But when you put Jesus Christ in his proper place, you're not going to be lazy. You're going to make passing grades. And I'd rather know that I had a kid that was number one in the nation as a quizzer than to know that they were A's in school. I could take a B if they'll go all the way with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Beverly said to me a few days ago when talking to her over the phone, she says, Daddy, I want to thank you for encouraging me to stay in the Bible quiz program, because you see, when I've been going through all these lonely things, said God has brought back many of those scriptures that I learned while I was in Bible quiz, and it's helped me to be strong, and it's helped me to have peace in my heart, and it's helped me to overcome because I had the word in my heart and in my life. Amen. Oh, friend, I'm trouble moms when I see that moms are consumed totally. See, when you're not totally consumed yourself, then your priorities get out of whack. And the first thing you know, you're more interested. And I'm all in favor. I want them to have a cheerleading squad as long as they're dressed properly. I want them to go all the whole bit. I don't want us to have a rinky-dink school. I don't want that in any kind of way. But I want you to know that serving God is more important than cheering for the football team. And I want you to know that singing in the rock group here at the church is more important than doing anything else they're going to do. And when mama is consumed with that, she's going to put her priorities right, and she's going to see that her children are led into an atmosphere that they too will be totally consumed. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The continual fire. And mother, today you may have children who are out in sin. You may have children who have turned back. You may have a child like my mother today that's breaking your heart. Breaking your heart. She said to me, she said, honey, I called him and talked to him and said he told me he was going to hang up on me. And said, I said to him, hang up. But as long as you're listening, I'm talking. And she says, when I got through, he didn't want to hang up. But you know what I'm saying to you? She said to him, said, buddy, you're going to listen one way or another because God told me to talk to you. What am I saying? If you won't let that fire go out, and maybe a lot of times that, Judy, some of the ashes will get down and begin to kind of smother it. But if you go in and diligently rake out that little bitternesses and resentments, little things that begin to build up, or worldly trends that may begin to try to creep in, just dig all of that out, pull it all out, and take it outside the camp and dump it out. And put some new wood on the fire and keep it burning. Keep that fire burning. You keep it burning by prayer. You keep it burning by the word. You keep it burning by worship. You keep it burning by attending the house of God. There may be sometimes you feel so down. You feel so down that you can hardly come to church. You know, Michelle here, the first year she served God, I saw her come to this church sometime that I knew that she pushed herself every inch of the way to get here because she's fighting such a battle. But it pays off if you keep that fire burning. Amen. I know some of you darling mothers, you're fighting battle after battle after battle. And sometimes I weep. I don't let you see me weep for you particularly, because you don't need sympathy. You need to be strong and you need to keep the fire burning. But I know some of you are aching. I know some of you precious mothers that today your husbands are out in sin, or maybe your husband has left you and you're aching. A little old mother started out of this church last Sunday, and I just felt like I had to speak to her. And I stopped at the back of my car, and as she walked by, I just reached out and caught her by the arm. I don't speak to her, I don't guess, once a year. And I pulled her over to the side of me, and I said to her, honey, I love you. And when I looked down at her, tears were just gushing down the sides of her cheeks. And she looked up and she says, thank you so much. I needed that.
I needed that. Her husband walked off and left her about 3 years ago with a darling little boy. And now then she's fighting the battle of being a mother, of being a father, of being a bread earner, of doing everything supposed to do. But oh, honey, if you'll keep that fire on that altar, hallelujah. If you'll keep that fire on that altar, keep that fire burning, you're going to win. You're going to win. Your children may be far, far from God today. Your husband may be far, far from God today. But keep that fire burning on that altar. Keep that heart consumed by the fire of the Spirit to the living God, and you're going to win. You're going to break through the barriers. You're going to overcome the obstacles. You're going to defeat the devil, and you're going to triumph in victory, because if you'll keep the fire burning, God's going to come to your rescue. Amen? Amen? There may be a lot of things come your way that'll try to put the fire out. But you keep that fire burning. You keep that altar clean. And you keep new wood on that fire. Keep it burning. Keep it burning. Keep it burning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what? Maybe your child just days ago may have hurt you so deeply you could hardly stand it. Maybe even this morning. Maybe you've come to this church so hurt. I've never seen more parents and children that were at one another's throats than I've seen in the last 8 months. It's unbelievable. Families that are torn to pieces. Mothers and daughters that won't even speak. Amen? You know what? I believe my child would have to speak to me if I had to shake him till his liver quivered. I'm just not giving him up. I'm not giving my kids up. You know, I'm just not going to turn them loose. I'm not going to let anything get in my heart. I thank God for the precious little lady that Randy married. And I pray every day, God, give Mark a person sold out to you. Give Beverly a person sold out to you. But you know, I realize the devil's still out there working. And he'd like to get one of my kids married to someone that could ruin their life. But if I'm totally consumed, there's no reprobate son-in-law nor daughter-in-law that could turn me against my child if I'm consumed with the fire. Amen? Amen? Because you know what? If I keep burning, and you may get mad at me, and you may get frustrated at me, but if I keep that altar burning, when you need someone, when you need help, you'll come to that light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you mothers have seen one of your children come to that light this past year? Hold your hand up, would you? Hold them up. Hold them up. That should be encouragement. That should be encouragement to others of you. Amen. All over the building, hands went up. Hallelujah. Keep that fire burning, because one day the darkness around them will be so great they'll look for a light. And if you've kept the fire burning, they'll come to the light. Because no one understands me better than a mother. My wife, after living with me, she understands me, but so does my mother. And if I didn't have a wife and I needed someone today, the first person I'd go to would be my mother. Amen? Is that right with you? You'd seek out that, especially if that mother's a Christian. If it's not a Christian, maybe not so. I want you mothers to see it's important to keep the fire burning. Bow your heads, please.